Welcome to today's New Life Live podcast. Today's podcast is brought to you by you. Your donations make this podcast possible. Please consider donating today using the New Life app, visit newlife.com, or call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. Welcome to New Life Live with host and founder of New Life Ministries, Stephen Arterburn. New Life Live is dedicated to transforming lives one at a time, thanks to the giving hearts of you, our listeners. Our goal is to provide you with wisdom from God's Word to give you hope and help in life's hardest places. If you have a question you'd like to ask today, our phone lines are open. Call 1-800-229-3000. That number again is 1-800-229-3000. Now here's Steve.
Hi, everybody. You know that we're trying to save money when the tape that we roll in says, you know, call us right now. And then when I come on, I say, well, you can't really call us because it's a taped program. Anyway, if we get proper funding, we're going to change that. Where we could have two openers, one saying, well, you know, this is a taped program. But welcome to July, everybody. And we did tape this program with John on the day his new, brand new book, People Fuel, launched, and we're going to be talking about that. But I hope and pray that you are having a great day today. And, you know, if you're not, you know, there is a way to make it better. But John, welcome to the program. John Townsend is with us here in the studio today. John, I'm so happy about your new book. I really do love that book. I love the cover.
You're the content. Cover guy. There's our cover.
And when you were on before, we talked about two of the quadrants that you have in there about relational nutrients, which are people fuel. What's that third quadrant?
Third quadrant, relational nutrients, which are basically my word for a lot like bionutrients in the system. We need calcium and iron. Well, we also need relational nutrients. And there are four quadrants of 22 nutrients. I'm going to make it complicated. I'll make it simple. The third quadrant, because we talked about the first two, the third quadrant is provide reality. Sometimes you have a kind of a complicated problem. It could be in a relationship with a family, with a kid, somebody you're dating, your spouse, something at work. You need somebody to give you feedback and insight and perspective and thoughtful ways to working through. The best people in the world for providing reality are the people that ask the question, why? Get around some why people and don't let them give you some kind of quick answer. Say, I want you to dig down to that. We need reality from the people we can trust. It's a great fuel that'll make life a lot better.
So that's the third. We'll deal with the fourth quadrant later, but sometimes we simply must ask for some feedback and then receive it when we get it. I was just talking with a wonderful local pastor, and he said he's at a church. He's not the senior pastor. He's at a church where good, solid feedback isn't really welcome there. What a sad state that is.
Yeah, the problem is the Bible says this over and over again if you read Proverbs. When we're around wise people who give us information, we prosper. But we've got to be able to hear the negative stuff as well as the positive stuff. If all people are doing is stroking you and saying hoop-de-doop, kumbaya, you're not going to prosper. Get around people and say, I need reality from you, positive and negative, your life will be better.
Okay, so I'm going to ask you an unexpected and actually kind of a tough question, I think. So there are a lot of counselors. There are a lot of people who've committed their lives to counseling, and they've kind of missed what is really important. They've, you know, maybe they're really not teaching truth as they're sharing in counseling. Maybe they're guiding people in a different direction. What do you attribute to the fact? I think you're one of the wisest people on the planet. And how? Why wisdom with you, maybe not so much with other folks?
I don't know about the me part, Steve, but I do know there's often an imbalance because counselors are so compassionate and caring and connected that sometimes they get lost in that a bit and they shirk away from some hard truths thinking they're going to upset somebody. But you know what? We're supposed to upset each other. We're never supposed to harm each other, but we're supposed to disrupt each other. And every good counselor has a great balance of really good attachment and attunement and listening and warmth and great truth that sometimes is kind of uncomfortable. Every session a counselor has should end up with both love and grace as well as some truth, or it's not a good session.
Amen. We'll be back right after this for more New Life Live. Glad you're with us today.
I feel blessed to have had this opportunity for my needs to be met, connecting with other women who are fighting the same fight, hoping for healthy marriages and growing closer to the Lord on their journey.
My name is Shelley Martinkus, and I want to personally invite you to the Restore Workshop. If you have been affected by betrayal, it might be that your husband has been looking at pornography, it might be an emotional, a physical affair. I would love for you to come join us.
I feel encouraged and hopeful that even in my struggle, I am enough.
You will leave with hope, with a community of sisters ready to support you, and you will also leave with tools to move you forward on this journey.
Through the sharing in our small group, I realize that I am not alone.
Please don't hesitate. Pick up the phone, call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. I would love to see you there.
The Restore Workshop is coming to Dallas, Texas, July 19th to the 21st. Call 1-800-NEW-LIFE to find out more. That's 1-800-639-5433 or online at newlife.com. To find out more information about New Life or to order any of the resources mentioned on today's program, call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. Now back to New Life Live.
We are back, and it is Monday, July the 1st, and Dr. John Townsend with his brand new book. It is called People Fuel. It's just fantastic. When you think about it, you have to have stuff coming in. You need people. You need good people with good things to offer. And so often everybody around us is just draining us. And boy, this is just such a great, wonderful book. And you call us a gift of any amount, and I'm going to send this to you. People Fuel.
Steve, yes, John. You just want to let you know personally, you are fuel to so many people, and thank you for giving yourself to be fuel to them. They are better. We're all better for that.
Yeah, thank you, John. My new book, From Fool to Fuel, will come out. No, I'll tell you, if I'm fuel to anybody, it's just the influence that you and Henry had on me for so many years, and it was like going to graduate school every day, and I'm so grateful to you. And, you know, anybody else, you say, boy, I wish I'd had that experience going to graduate school with John and Henry. Yeah, you can. You can sign up for the Townsend Institute even as a bachelor. You can get a bachelor's degree at that institute, and you can get a master's degree, counseling, leadership, and the stuff that John has that's in his DNA can be in your DNA too. And so I just can't encourage you more. Where do they go, John, if they're interested in studying to become exactly like you? Where would they go?
Ask my family about that one. Go to your browser and go to Townsend Institute and look up how to get a totally online degree that's fully accredited, where we have practical skills that are marketable skills based on the Bible, great clinical research, leadership research, and neuroscience. So we got hundreds of students around the world. Why can't you be one?
Amen. All right. You will not be disappointed. Okay. Let's go to Lisa. She's calling all the way from down the street from me in Indianapolis, Indiana. Hello, Lisa. Welcome to New Life. How you doing?
I'm doing okay. How are you doing?
Doing all right. How could we help today?
Well, I guess my question is from a grandparent's perspective. My daughter and her husband have a little one-year-old, and her husband's from an abusive background. But I think he's probably a narcissist, but I'm not sure. But we've had concerns since the baby was born. He's careless with him. He kind of manhandles him. I mean, when he was 4 or 5 months old, he would be tossing him in the air and different things.
No.
And, you know, when he was in our home, we'd ask him to stop. He would do it a few more times and then stop. I know his own mom has asked him not to do that.
But, okay, so what's the question for us? We understand these guys that are really out of touch with reality, totally non-relational, not only not responsive to you, but they react in a rebellious way to you, and all you're showing is love and concern for their child. What's the question for us here?
I guess the question is, well, recently I had a family member of his that I ran into told me some things when he was at their home, calling him stupid. He got angry, flung food in his face because he wouldn't take his last bite. And I guess I've talked to my daughter about it. She's our prodigal. This guy has charmed her to death. I think she's under a spell or something. But I guess my question is, my husband and I, what can we do? What do we watch for? I mean, I don't want to wait till something happens, but yet I have no proof of any. You know what I mean? I have no mark. I mean, I just don't know what to do. I just don't want to sit around and wait till something happens, but yet I know I'm not the parent, so.
Okay. John, what do you think here? I mean, it doesn't sound good, but it also doesn't sound like this guy's crossed the line. I don't know. Maybe he has. What do you think?
Lisa, first off, I'm glad you're calling, and my heart goes out to that one-year-old. That's just such a vulnerable age where so many developmental things are happening. Then that's really critical that at this stage when a dad is behaving like that, that's going to affect development if it's not improved. Since you aren't the parent, I would do – let me give you a kind of a path.
Okay.
I assume you've talked to your daughter about these concerns.
I have. We talked, and she downplays it.
She downplays it.
And explains it away.
Okay. All right, so.
I've even told her, we've tried to keep our mouths shut as much as possible, trying to be good.
Okay. No, I'll kind of make it simple here. And you say, we got to take some action. We don't know what's happening. We love you guys, but we also feel a responsibility for our grandson. We'd like to have a counseling session where you and us show up and the four of us together have a family counseling to maybe we're all wrong about this, but we're terrified and we have a responsibility. So would you go? And you got to look at any kind of personality issues, one of three categories, Lisa. It's either mild, moderate, or severe. If they're mildly, personality disorder-wise, they'll go, okay, busted, sure, and they go and they get help from a professional outside of you and your husband. If they're moderate to severe, they say, no way, it's our house, you're bad people. And then you know what I would do if I was in your position? I'd probably call CPS, Child Protective Services, and say, I don't know anything. My name is Lisa. But here's what I'm seeing, and do you guys do a visit? And they are so responsible. A lot of times they go, sure, we'll make a home visit, and they spend time there. And they are the authorities that deal with that. So that's where I would go. Try not to, but try to bring a professional in. If they say, we don't want help, and you're concerned about your grandson, bring in the authorities. They're not mean people. I know a lot of these people. They care about kids, and they care about families, and they're professionals.
What about this to the daughter? Honey, I've talked with you about this before. I felt like, and I understand, this is a tough place for you to be. I felt like, you kind of minimized it because you're in a tough place. But I know you. I know you're concerned about this also. So I'm going to do something. It's going to sound like it's for me or us, but it's for you, and it's for the baby, and I'm just asking you to go with it rather than fight it, because we're going to fight for you and for our grandchild being safe. I know what you said before, but let us help you in this way. Really kind of try to appeal to her heart.
That's a really good approach, Steve.
You just, blow her out of the water with, here's what we're doing. Now, she may rise up. But what would you, here's what people go, oh, wow, this is really serious. What would you feel like if you did nothing and then you find out years later that what you saw was just the tip of the iceberg?
Oh, Lisa would be devastated.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And that's what you're fighting against there. What a great thing when a grandchild has a courageous grandparent. really, really is sometimes you're the only option. And so is there a risk that they're going to say you can't see our grandchild anymore? That's a risk. Bigger risk is that the grandchild is actually, you know, you've got a minimizing daughter and a pretty destructive son-in-law there. Okay?
Can I tell a story about that?
Absolutely.
It just so, Lisa, your story kind of reminds me of this, is a couple came to me one time where the grandparent, you know, I'm reversing generations in this case, the grandparent, the grandfather was drinking a lot in front of the kids, and so bad that when we went to the restaurants, he would, like, you know, get drunk, fall down, bad stuff that their little kids were watching. And so he wouldn't change. They appealed to him. They said, please don't. He said, I don't have a problem. You guys are just judging me. I can do what I want. So we went with that for a while, and I finally said, I think you need to tell your father-in-law, your father, the next time you're drunk at any kind of occasion where kids are there, you won't see your grandchildren for a year. And they said, how can we do that? I said, you just have to, because your kids are watching this. And so they warned him, and they said, this is what's going to happen. He said, there's no problem. You're making this up. You're just overreacting, blah, blah, blah. And they said, okay. He got drunk at a restaurant, fell down on the way to the bathroom. The kids were just traumatized. There's granddad. And they didn't. And so the parents, they mustered up, and he did not see his grandchildren for a year. It was hard for them. They felt guilty. They felt bad. The kids were saying, where's grandpa? But they held to it for a year. And so they called him after a year, and they said, we'd like to go out again. Now, by this way, he'd not gone to AA. He'd not get any help, nothing. He was still an alcoholic. He was still, I mean, but their goal wasn't to get him in AA. The goal was to protect their children. And so they went to him, and they said, we'd like to have dinner. And they've had many dinners since then. And guess what he drinks at dinner with the grandkids now?
Water.
It's been years. So sometimes you have to do things to protect our children. That's all. And so God bless you for calling.
I should have that talk with her before I suggest counseling.
I love what Steve said. I kind of did the tough love part, and then Steve came in and really made it much more palatable. I love how he said it. And, you know, appealing to your daughter's heart and her love for her child, he just put in the missing piece there. I'd go with Steve's thing first and my thing second, and then I think you got to win.
Yeah, and then that way you're always able to reference, hey, honey, I did. Remember,
yeah,
I had that talk with you. I really pled with you to respond in a very strong way.
Mm-hmm.
All right, I'm glad that you called. I'm going to send People Fuel to you. I'm so grateful that we've got this resource. I think it could be a great help to you. And, John, hearing this, I feel bad about the joke I made when I was preaching at Heartland on things like this. I said that many times the reason that grandparents and grandchildren love each other so much is they have a common enemy. It's just not funny, you know. It was inappropriate when I look back on it, but it is true.
They do
sometimes have the common enemy. Anyway, all right, we love you. We care about you. If you want a copy of People Fuel, how about you call 1-800-NEW-LIFE, offer up a gift of any amount, and I'm going to send you a great, great book that really does, you know, we live in a very, very complex world. A lot of stuff we do is not fueling the soul here. And here's a book that tells you how to keep going strong, not burning out, because you're putting fuel in that tank, the right kind of fuel. Now, John, as I understand it, this concept of relational nutrients, that's an original concept of yours, isn't that right?
Yeah, we've got it trademarked and branded now.
I love that. So a relational nutrient, you've got several in here, but just run down again before we go to the next caller, some relational nutrients that a person ought to be, just like you're asking, am I getting enough B or C vitamin, especially D for me, what is it?
Yeah, you don't want to be in deficit, so there's four categories. There's be present, so you need people telling you that they're with you and listening to your feelings and empathizing with you. Then there's the category of deliver the good stuff, like encouragement and hope and affirmation. Then there's give me reality, wisdom, and insight, and perspective, feedback. And the fourth quadrant is what's called call to action. Sometimes we need to have somebody kick us in the butt and say, go do something. Go have that hard conversation. Read this book. Go to this conference and try these action steps, because it's about behavior. And if we're getting those four quadrants of nutrients in our lives from people every week, our life's going to be good. It's just the way it works.
Yeah. Amen. Well, I love this book, and I hope people will call us, donate a gift, any amount. I'll send this to you. It's our way of saying thank you. It's one of the better thank yous we've ever had. Send me $25, and I'll throw in the tote bag with it. It's really cool. You know, a book's one thing, but to have that liner in there that, I mean, the book's hot, and that it needs a liner.
Just need to that keep liner. It cool.
So you call us at 1-800-NEW-LIFE. We really love you. We love John. You know, John's been part of New Life 4 years, and I'll tell you, anytime I have ever needed an ear that had a wise mouth in between both of them, I called John. He was always there. You can trust John, and you can trust this book. Most people know you from Boundaries. I think one day they're going to be saying, well, maybe you haven't read People Fuel, and they'll be blessed when they do.
My wife had found me out through my past and my sexual addiction since I was a small child. It really gave me the opportunity to start digging into my past, start digging into my childhood, figure out what was causing me to feel the way I was feeling. Every Man's Battle will really give you that opportunity, because all the guys there in that room are there for the exact same reason you're there. I don't want to be the reason that my kids are going to counseling. I don't want to be the reason that they begin to struggle with the same issues that I'm struggling with, and I've got to put an end to this. Yes, you can be different. God does love you. You can be forgiven for this, and there's a way out of this. But you have to acknowledge that you have to change, and that there's a problem.
If you're struggling, call us. There are people on the other end of the line who want to hear from you, who want to help you. We don't want you to hand down something to another generation that just looks like pain and destruction. You can hand down redemption, but you got to take that first step. Just give us a call. It's 1-800-639-5433. It's 1-800-NEW-LIFE.
Hi, this is Steve Arterburn, and for 30 years, New Life has been the most trusted name in Christian counseling.
I'm an addict, and I'm trying to get God in my life again. You seem to be able to get to the crux of a problem quickly.
Our Christ-centered treatment programs can help you break free to embrace all that God has for you and your family.
I just want to thank you guys for bringing me to a relationship with Jesus.
There really is help for marital problems, depression, addictions, panic attacks, and feelings of hopelessness.
I came back with so many tools to help me prepare myself to fight this struggle and this battle that I have every day.
You can start living again today, living the life God intended for you. Help is available at 1-800-NEW-LIFE.
They did care, and they did follow up very lovingly, and it made all the difference in my life.
Call us at 1-800-NEW-LIFE. Someone who cares is waiting at the other end of the phone. God can open the door to a better tomorrow right now. Just call us at 1-800-NEW-LIFE. 1-800-639-5433.
We'd love to hear from you. If you have a question or a comment, call toll-free 1-800-229-3000. Now back to New Life Live.
We're back. Steve Arterburn here. I believe Larry Sonnenberg's in the studio, isn't he?
I popped in to say hello, yes.
I can Larry, feel the awe. I could tell he was here.
Larry, I have not cleared this at all, but I thought it would be a good thing to ask somebody who has generously supported our ministry over the years and has helped us with our matching gift. I thought it would be great to hear from a person who has credibility, wisdom, and knowledge why they choose to support New Life. So rather than get somebody on the phone, I'm just going to ask, and I haven't cleared it, John, I want you to tell people why you support New Life, because I think you supporting us might inspire some other folks to support us too.
I actually have more than one why, guys, having done this for so many years. One is just stewardship. I want to make sure that when I give, something good happens. I don't want to throw down some hole where, you know, like there's a book called When Helping Hurts, when we give and give and give, and it doesn't produce results because we're giving the wrong way. It's a great book. That's not what happens here with New Life. Because I know the system so well. I know the people and the infrastructure. It goes to the people that need it. It goes to the needs. It goes to transformation. And it's in the name of Jesus. I mean, what better return than that? Very, very high percentage. Because I'm kind of an accountability stewardship guy. And so that's number one. But the kind of cool thing is, after all those years, I've been doing it for so long, I kind of forget about that, and I'm just into the passion. Mm-hmm. I see these conversations. I'll be doing a book, a speaking conference, and somebody will come up to me, and when I'm at the book table, and say, "Hey," I say, "Where did you hear of us?" And they'll say, "Oh, I listened to you on New Life." I'll say, "Well, great. So is it helpful?" They'll go, "Excuse me, is it helpful?" It saved my life. And I used to say, "Yeah, you know, things, you know, a good meal saved my life." And they go, I'm serious. Yeah. It saved my life. And so I want to give on a passion level as well as an accountability level to something that I can see transformation and people saying, existence, lives change, marriage back together, depressions, sexual addictions broken. I mean, I want to see the chains come off. So. Mm. Where else would you want to put that kind of money?
Amen.
Thank you for that, John.
Thank you.
This is the month of freedom, 4th of July.
There it is.
Yeah. And John, you mentioned you've been doing this so many years, this will make you feel good. Lady wrote to us, "I basically grew up with New Life. My mom introduced me to Steve, Henry, and John's books, which we read and discussed together. Now I'm a school counselor, and people describe me as the boundaries queen."
I love that.
Don't you love that?
Second
generation,
wow.
And she's all over it.
It's so nice to see when you hear things like that from back in the days when me and Steve and Henry started all this, because we were 9 years old at the time, and how things have changed.
Child prodigies.
So much.
Yeah.
Well, all right. Well, thank you, John, for that. Thanks to all of you who support us. We spend your money on helping other people. 1-800-NEW-LIFE is the number. Please call us. I'll send you a copy of People Fuel if you'll support us.
Your money
today
will be doubled because it's a matching gift. So.
That's right.
Thank you.
Yeah. We are
stewardship.
Amen.
Amen. All right. Let's go to Linda. She's calling from Katy, Texas. KWRD is the station. Linda, you're on with Dr. John Townsend, Steve Arterburn here. Glad that you called us. How can we help?
Well, I just wanted to make a comment. And first, thank you for educating couples out there. It's so important. And so God bless the both of you always. So my husband and I, we've been married for 32 years now. And I hear some of these gentlemen calling in. They're saying, you know, I told her I'm sorry. What else can I do? The thing is, it was a violation between God, you, and your spouse. And it takes some time. You know, you're totally right. The trust. It will take some time, but you love each other through it. We both had affairs, and we loved each other through it.
Oh, you know what you're talking about here. You've been through this.
Yeah.
Wow, way to go.
We've been through it, and it took a little while. He also had pornography issues, and I think that was one of the reasons why I stepped outside. You know, I'm not blaming him. I'm just saying I didn't feel I was worthy of his love.
Yeah.
And so, but we figured all that out, It takes time, and you have to love each other through it. You have to love yourself, and you have to ask God for the forgiveness, obviously. And then when it pops back up again, you have to ask each other for forgiveness, and you have to work through it. And like you said, the trust, it's earned. It definitely is earned. So,
thank you for that. It's encouragement to others. I'll send you his book, People Fueled, just because I think maybe you've fueled some things here. Look, you get hurt when you're betrayed. I've been on the end of that, and then you work through it, and then you let God do and work on you, and you find the strength and the hope and the willingness to make things better. And they can be better.
Hey, can I ask Linda a quick question?
Sure. Yeah.
Sure.
Linda, so give people some hope. You talked about the hard stuff, which you have to do. Now you guys are past it, I assume, for years. How's life now in a post-affair marriage? Just talk about the good stuff for a second.
So our kids are grown now, and so we have the empty nest, and we are like honeymooners now.
Whoa.
We are having the best time. We just had to learn to grow with each other and really be honest, you know, like, I mean, really honest, like, I need this from you. Yep. I need you to talk to me this way. I need you to touch me this way.
Guys, there's hope on the other end. Way. Linda and her husband are living hope. It gets better if you do the hard work. God bless you.
Yep. Thank you for that. Amen. We're going to take a break. We'll come right back. Glad you are with us here for New Life Live. Dr. John Townsend, and he is the author of many great books, but here's a new one, and it's called People Fuel. A lot of folks, you've got some nutrients in the relational area of your life that you're lacking.
Mm-hmm.
This book's going to tell you how to find them, get them, keep them, build on them. We'll be back after this.
Most of my life, I've been dealing with an opiate addiction.
Why is opioid addiction quickly becoming one of our nation's biggest killers? Maybe it's because it isn't only those who are addicted who are in denial.
We did what I see so many parents do, is it can't be an addiction. There's something medically wrong.
It's impossible to solve a problem when you don't know what you're up against, and families will try to find any explanation except the one that will put them on the right path.
Alcoholism and drug addiction is a family disease. It doesn't affect just the individual.
If someone you love is abusing painkillers, know what you're up against. It's time to admit it's addiction and seek treatment. Call us today at 1-800-NEW-LIFE. We have Christ-centered partner treatment centers around the country. Call 1-800-639-5433 or visit us online at newlife.com.
We just made a decision. We will do whatever it takes.
1-800-NEW-LIFE.
Hi, this is Steve Arterburn, and for 30 years, New Life has been the most trusted name in Christian counseling.
Your ministry has saved my life.
If you struggle with emotional hurt, family or marriage problems, the pit of depression, or the pain of addictions, we can help.
I'm down 100 pounds now from what I was.
You guys are awesome. You're a blessing to America.
Our treatment programs provide clinically appropriate solutions from licensed professionals, all in a biblical framework.
I have had problems with alcohol. I think God has ordained this place to be His.
You don't have to be a prisoner of your pain. Help is available at 1-800-NEW-LIFE.
She tells me that I'm a new man and I feel like a new man.
It worked for me and it can work for them too.
This time it is different.
If you're ready to take the first step toward genuine spiritual and emotional healing, please call us today at 1-800-NEW-LIFE. God can open the door to a better tomorrow right now. Call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. New Life. That's 1-800-639-5433.
We're glad you joined us for New Life Live. To be a part of the program, call 1-800-229-3000. Now back to New Life Live.
We're back. Steve Arterburn here. And, you know, I just got a comment on this, John. We've been doing stuff together for years. And we're still friends. We still respect each other. We're still working out stuff to do together. And, you know, this is really, I think it's the way it should be in the Christian
yes.
community. It's the exception, sadly, rather than the rule. But you're so supportive of stuff that I do, Dave Stoop, we're so supportive of what you do. And I just want people to know, you know, we're really trying to practice. We're not really trying. We are. We're implementing as the 12 steps say, to practice these principles in all your affairs. And we do that. And I just want people to know, you know, I know the inside of John and the outside, and we've been through tough times, great times. And he really has been so, so very consistent. And he's a man of character. I would not ever, if he didn't have character, I probably wouldn't say it. I would just not talk about his character. We're just not going to.
He's got a great personality.
But yeah, he's really nice to ducks. But he does have character. He has a lot of character, and I wouldn't say it if he didn't. And so when he comes out with a book like this, and it's got brand new material, a brand new way of looking at your life, I needed to look at this book. In fact, I took the quadrant page. And against all copyright laws, I ran off 5 copies and gave it to all the kids. And I said, this is important stuff. I want you to know about this. And that's how much I love this new book. This is not just lip service. This is the truth. So please, a gift of any amount, I will send this to you as a way of saying thanks for supporting us. And we've got this matching gift. Your gift will be doubled. So call us now, 1-800-NEW-LIFE. become a supporter. John is a great supporter of New Life, and we're grateful for that. Right now, let's
hey,
go to
Steve,
Noah.
There's also a freebie teaser thing. You said you printed out the Relational Nutrients Quadrant from the book. We now own relationalnutrients.com. You can go there if you want to just get it for free, get those 22 nutrients for free in their description. Put it on your smartphone or print it out and put it on your fridge, but that's a freebie so people can have that.
Nice. Okay. And that is relationalnutrients.com.
Yep.
Relationalnutrients.com. Very cool. All right. Now let's go to Melody. Hartford, Connecticut is where she's from, listens to us online. And you're on with Dr. John Townsend. As I've said, he's the author of the new book, People Fuel. Hi, how are you?
Hi, how are you? Hi.
Good.
My husband and I have been married almost, in two more days, it'll be 21 years. And October of 2017, he's had two physical affairs and several emotional affairs.
Oh, goodness.
But his last emotional affair was then, in October 2017, he went to every men's battle. And the very next month in November, I went to the Restore Conference because I wanted to work things out, and I knew that I needed, you know, to go there and be blessed by other women and hear Shelley and everything. So it was great. And we got a marriage counselor and started working on stuff. And then the fall of 2018, we went to the intimacy and marriage. And that was great. And I have my own personal counselor. He's had two personal counselors that he fired. But in the meantime, just May 14th of this year, we were in our last session of marriage counseling, and he said that he was tired of doing restoration. It was too tiring to him, and he thought he wanted separation or divorce. He didn't really know, but he just knew he wanted a break. So we left there, and he moved downstairs in our guest room. It's been 7 weeks, and he's telling me he just doesn't love me anymore. He hasn't loved me for the past year, and he's just done. And my question is, I still love him. I'm working on my own individual stuff. His whole thing is, I'm doing all this work. You're doing nothing. I feel like I have to do all these things, he's saying. But I'm just not seeing it through his lens at all.
Okay. All right.
I feel like he's, you know, gaslighting me like he's done in the past. He's saying there's no one else again. But it's just like, I don't know what to do at this point. All right. I love him. I want it to work.
Melody, I'm going to take you down a path. I think it'll be different than where John goes here, but I want to explore something with you. And so just think about it this way. All right, so sometimes when a person isn't doing much or not doing anything at all, we will say to the other person, I think you have to, you know, kind of get serious here. You have to let them know, hey, this isn't good enough, and you have to do some drastic things to try to get them to get on track. So I'm not saying that this is true about you. I'm just exploring this. What if it is true, though? What if he really is keeping his act together, but what he's done is he's done something because he really wants you to, like, experience forgiveness for him and share it with him, or he really wants you to do some additional stuff. Is there any way that could be what has happened here rather than the gaslighting? Now, I'm not convinced that I'm going down the right path. I'm just exploring an option here. Is there any chance that this could be his way of saying, come on, step up your game. I'm doing this kind of stuff to try to resolve and restore what I destroyed.
Well, I don't know, because I've been going to personal counseling and I've been doing a step group. So I feel like I have been working on my individual stuff.
And do you treat him kindly, lovingly, or is it always hard on him because of what he did? And he did something really bad to you. I mean, there's just no question. What do you think?
No, I feel like I have been treating him kindly.
Okay.
I mean, there's times that we both have triggers, you know?
Yeah.
And that's another thing, is he's like, I'm just so tired of your triggers. And it's like, I wish I could stop them too, you know?
Yeah, right. Well, I just wanted to explore that, because if there is anything to it, then it would be you guys sitting down with the therapist together saying, okay, let's talk about what it is that has led to this point. And, you know, and if he's not gaslighting, then maybe there would be some hope for a different path to restoration. But, John, you take it in the other way, if you would.
I kind of get what you're saying in the exploration, Steve. It makes sense. The thing I was thinking, Melody, was I kind of want to be in your house for a day, shadowing you guys, because here's he over here saying, I'm doing all the work, she's not, and then you're saying, but he does trigger me, but, you know, can't help that. So I need one specific, not from Melody's perspective, but from husband's perspective, on what he's getting tired of.
He's just getting tired of talking about restoration and basically accountability. He said, I'm just tired of being accountable.
What specifically does accountability mean? What behaviors? Use behaviors here.
Okay, behaviors would be like, we used to have 2 calls a day where he had to kind of call me and ask how my day was going and just kind of give a brief, you know, like asking me how I was doing.
Like checking in on each other?
Checking in. Yeah, okay. 2 check-ins a day.
Okay.
And then it lasted maybe a couple of months where he was doing good, and then it was like he was getting later and later, and then sometimes he would miss one. And then all of a sudden he was missing them, and then he just kind of blew up and was like, I'm done. I'm just tired of check-ins. I don't like accountability.
That's not a good sign. Because that's just a reasonable thing. Spouses should talk to each other every day, whether they're in trouble or not. All right.
True.
Then I think I would go to him. I'm sorry? Were you going to say something, Melody?
I was going to say, our last session with our marriage counselor, she said to him how he just always seemed, like she said maybe that he should get tested for bipolar, but she's like, your relationship is either, she said, you're either 100% on for your wife or you're 0%. She says, there's never in the middle with you guys. She says, it's always on or off. And that's kind of how I have felt our whole life.
So there were good times.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Okay. Yeah. Nothing wrong with getting an evaluation for bipolar, but I had another thought.
And John, let me just stop there for a second. And when a therapist says that, you know, that means something.
Yeah. Yeah. Pay attention to that and just say, maybe you'll feel better about me if we find out if there's that, you know, diagnosis. But the other thought I want to throw in before we have to go, Melody, is you may want to go down to that guest room and say, I'm sorry that this thing is so hard on you. I get it. And it's just a hard thing. Tell me what positive things I can bring between us, what positive nutrients I can bring you along with all the work that might make it more tolerable. Sometimes he might say, I don't know, walk on the beach, kiss me, tell me I'm nice, have a glass of applesauce or apple juice with me. You know, what positive things can I add so that we're not always in recovery? There's a thing called recovery, you know, fatigue.
Fatigue, yeah.
When all you're talking is recovery. Think about that piece too. All right, Melody.
Yeah.
I sure hope something we've said is helpful. This book, this People Fuel, if you'll read it and say, maybe if I put some fuel into this guy, maybe it'll help.
My wife asked me for the first time in 2011 if I would consider myself a sex addict, so I signed up. You know, I'd read the Every Man's Battle book, and it was a great book, but the workshop, it was the experience that really was key for me. If they go to EMB, they're going to be in good hands. You know, this is a safe place. They're going to be surrounded by men that simply walk the talk. The weekend leaders that they will go through this workshop with, they'll help them to get to the root of their issues. You know, I've been through a number of well-preached sermons, listened to and read countless books, been to a number of seminars, but EMB for me was a game changer. It truly saved my life. Being in this community, being in this workshop, being around these men will change them if they'll let them. You're going to encounter men that will meet you where you're at, and you will instantly walk into a safe place where they're welcome.
If you're struggling, call us. We don't want you to go on struggling. Just give us a call. It's 1-800-639-5433. It's 1-800-NEW-LIFE.
Last year, after Every Man's Battle, I was so moved by the transformation that I saw, not only in myself, but in the guys in our small group and the other people that were there and the stories that I heard, that I decided to go ahead and join Club New Life as a contributor to that.
You can help New Life Live stay on the air by joining Club New Life today. Call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. That's 1-800-639-5433.
You guys are doing God's work here. You're restoring marriages. You're giving people hope. It's just been such a blessing to me, and I just wanted to encourage you all. When you see something good that God's doing, just jump on that and help support that.
Support Club New Life, and together we can help hurting people find help and hope in life's hardest places. Call 1-800-639-5433.
Give your support to them if you can, and just help them do what God's doing here in the world.
Call 1-800-639-5433 to join Club New Life today. To find out more information about New Life or to order any of the resources mentioned on today's program, call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. Now back to New Life Live.
We're absolutely back with Dr. John Townsend. Always a real treat to have John on the program. John, in the book, there is a fourth quadrant, call to action.
Mm-hmm.
Let's go over that. People need to know about that.
It's great to have wisdom and insight and love and support and all those things, but sometimes we need the nutrient of a call to action, meaning somebody needs to say, hey, I'm good with practical steps. I want you to get up earlier and do this, or I want you to have that difficult conversation, or I want you to go to a conference, or try this, or here's a strategy for your new website. You know, at the end of the game, it's really about behavior. We can feel the transformation and the breakthroughs, but we got to do something about it. So call to action means sometimes we just say to somebody, okay, I get it. I know the why here. I know the struggle. What do I do? How many times have we had on the show, Steve, somebody say, I get it. Now what? And we get practical mm-hmm. solutions. So the fourth quadrant is, okay, do something about it. When you put the four quadrants together, be present and compassionate, convey good things and be a positive person with people, give them wisdom, and then sometimes a nice kick in the butt in a nice way, people grow and change and solve problems and have a great life.
Absolutely. So advice, structure, challenge, development, service, you know, guiding engagement to giving back, all of these mm-hmm. so very important. It's all part of People Fuel Gift of any amount. I'm going to send it to you. Let's go to Jessica Dayton, Ohio, listens on the podcast. Hi, how are you?
I'm good. How are you?
Great. You're on with Dr. John Townsend. How could we help today?
Just a little bit of backstory. My okay. husband had an affair 5 years ago, and there's a child involved, and we are co-parenting together with
wow.
the mother.
Jessica, my hat's off to you. Goodness gracious, that's
well, thank you.
You're the rock star of the day.
You are.
Way to go.
No. So my question is, the mother and I, of course, there's a lot of tension. Mm. We can't really have conversations because I'm attacking her.
In so her perspective or in reality or in her perspective?
In her perspective.
All righty.
Yeah. Anything that's spoken out of my mouth is an attack. So in the realm of boundaries, what is my role as this little girl's mom, stepmom? Her mom is not on a good path. She doesn't really mother her. It's more of a don't forget that I'm the mom kind of relationship. So
yeah,
that's my question. Did I say enough?
And what is your husband's reaction to you when you say to him, honey, I don't think this is good and what's happening with the child, nor do I appreciate her attacking me when I'm just trying to help the child? What does your husband say to those kinds of things?
He's, through this whole thing, he's been super supportive, and we actually discuss anything and everything before even approaching her. He agrees that she's not in the right mindset about anything. And that's why we recently got custody of the child. But she still has her 10 days out of the month. So
you mm-hmm. have approximately 20 days a month at your home and 10 days a month with the mom?
Correct.
Okay.
Yeah.
That's rough if she's an unhealthy person.
So yeah, your question then is, how do we help her to have a better quality, your granddaughter to have a better quality home for a third of her life?
She's not my granddaughter. She's my...
I'm sorry.
I don't call her a stepdaughter. No, I call her my bonus baby.
Right.
But yeah.
I had too
good
much.
For you.
I had too much coffee.
Bonus baby.
So,
I like it.
So it's a bonus baby. So how to either have her in those 10 days to be a better mom, because you're finding you have to kind of help the girl recover from all that when you get her. You're 20. Is that right?
Yes. It's more of like she spends time with her mom. We do the whole 3 steps forward, 5 steps back dance, you know, because her mom is not, she's not healthy in a lot of ways, but she's got mental health too that we try to protect.
Your husband's the key here. You have no credibility. You know, she doesn't see you as a kind person, and doesn't sound like she's that healthy a person. Can your husband like speak into that stronger?
No, because he's attacking too. According to her,
he's quote unquote attacking.
Yeah.
So any kind of corrective, like try this thing differently, you're judging and attacking me, right? So this kind of thing.
Yes. Yes. So the struggle is always, don't tell me how to be a parent. Mm. We actually had to go to court, and it was awkward. And you know,
what does she do? What does she do that you don't agree with parenting wise? Just give us a picture of that.
She drinks around her. She smokes. We know that she does various drugs, and the child has told us about the things, so we know that drugs are being done in front of her. She leaves her with people that we don't feel are safe. What else?
That's good.
That's enough.
So my biggest thing is I don't want to take I'm not her birth mom. She does refer to me as mommy. We've had her in our life since she was 3 months old. But I want to respect the relationship that is her mother, but I also want her to be raised as a healthy adult.
Well,
or raised,
you know,
to a healthy adult.
There is a word, the word respectable. And when that isn't there, you can't expect a child to be respectful if the relationship or the parent isn't respectable, right?
Yeah.
In fact, it's confusing. So you want to have good boundaries, and you want to be supportive of whatever you can support, but you don't want to confuse this child with saying that something that is not respectable should be treated with respect. John, what's your take on this? This is tough, man. Here's one of the heroes in the world today.
Seriously, Jessica, you really are. Let me tell you.
We have 4 kids total together, so it's not like this child just came about. We have 3 girls prior.
Gotcha. All right, let me give you a path of sorts.
Yeah.
Some people, depending on how severe their issues are, they will respond to this. Now, did you hear the last show when we talked to something?
I did.
You did?
I didn't.
Didn't? Okay.
I did not.
Steve and I kind of had a 1-2 thing that I thought was really sort of relevant to what you're saying, where you go alongside of her or your husband or whoever, you know, she can listen to it. She can't listen to anybody, but give it 5 minutes and say, you know, we hated to go to court and we didn't want to get custody, but we did, and we think it was the right decision. We never want to hurt your feelings, but we still have concerns about your 10 days, and we need to do something. And so we would like, because we love you, and we love the girl, and we know you do, and kind of appeal to her mother instinct. Steve had a really good point about appealing to her maternal instinct that's under the drug somewhere. God made it that way, right? It's there. Try to access it. We need to get some family counseling together. We're complicated. We need to get a professional. And so we need to talk about what's going on in our house because of the quality of people you're letting her go with and the drugs and this sort of thing. Now, if she's mild, she'll go, yeah, for the sake of my daughter, I'll have family counseling. And then you'll have a pro in there who says, okay, we've got to change some things here. But it's not coming from you, the bad guys. It's coming from the neutral pro. If she says, no way, Jose, I'm the mom, blah, 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 then you have to say, and this is when I went to the tough love piece, then you call Child Protective. services and say, could you do an evaluation in the home? We're really scared. And then they either come in and they say, oh, she's fine, everything's healthy, or they say, as professionals, there's some serious things going on here. Mm-hmm. And then you've got some leverage to make structural changes because they have the legal leverage.
If you need some help, it's 1-800-NEW-LIFE. Call us. We want to help you. See you tomorrow.
Thanks for listening. We hope this program has helped you by giving you insights for handling the challenges you face in your life. We want you to know that we're here for you, but you also need to know that New Life Live is a listener-supported ministry. To make your donation or to get any of the resources mentioned on today's program, call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. That's 1-800-639-5433, or write to us at New Life Ministries, P.O. Box 1029, Lake Forest, California, 92609. Please join us again tomorrow for New Life Live. Today's podcast can be downloaded through iTunes or streamed through your mobile device using the New Life app. Visit newlife.com to download the app today.